Let us pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that we can be in your house. And Lord, I ask that you first be with me and please speak the words you want me to speak, and that it can be a blessing to everybody that's here, and that I can apply that, all the things we have heard today, that we can apply in our practical life. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm just going to give a little intro, how we came to Yuchi Pines and how Lord led us from Yuchi Pines. So my family and I were living in Los Angeles. We always wanted to get out of LA, and knowing that raising children is not really a great place in Los Angeles. And we called several places and we left the messages, and some of them told us that we are not able to come because they don't have a housing for families. But and I was praying at that time a lot. I still pray, but I was meditating on one verse where it says in Isaiah, I believe it's 7 verse 9 or 11, where it says, "Ask your Lord for a sign." So after praying and mentioning that verse, half an hour later, after I prayed that prayer, I received a call on the message I left to Yuchi Pines 45 days before. So I tell my wife, "Listen, I think this is a way we should go." And then I think Lord have spoke to us. But we started going on websites, trying to reason. We know this, this, and that. Maybe it was a coincidence. Anyway, didn't give us peace. So later on, we started thinking about it. Maybe we should really go for it and apply for it. We applied, we got accepted, and we started packing up. We were packing up, but I still did not give my resignation. I was holding on, trying to see how all these pieces will be put together. Because I was looking for a housing where we're going to live. So I found a housing nearby here. And I was like, okay, now I know where I'm going to send the truck. Now I know where we're going to be. And now I can give my resignation. You see, there is something about us knowing things that gives us comfort, so we can go forward. These are just baby steps. So I signed out my resignation. I give my wife address where we're going to be. Half an hour later, she calls me and tells me, "Are you crazy?" You're laughing, probably it happened to you, maybe you're not. They're like, "I'm not going there." I said, "What's going on? Why not?" And she was like really flabbergasting, and she was crying a lot. It's like, "I'm not going there. You have to know why you're not going." She said, "Haven't you seen on Google who is our next door neighbor?" I said, "No. Just go like 5 rows below and you will see." And the truth was, when I looked at it, it says our next door neighbor is a registered pedophile sexual offender. I'm like, okay, I'm not going there either. I don't want our child to be exposed to that. So what to do? You have resigned, you have packed up, you have no place to go. What did Lord tell Israelites when they were in a pinch? Go forward. And we decided to go forward, not knowing where we're going to be. We arrived at Yuchi Pines, and we had maybe 10 days to find out where we're going to live, start looking around, and the rumor has spread that we are looking for a housing. And rumor has spread and went to the person, and that person asked us, "Would you be willing to move with me? I have a 3-bedroom house and I have 2 bedrooms that I'm not using, and you're more than welcome to come and live with me." Do you know who was that? Dr. Agatha Thrash. She opened the door to us, and it was an unforgettable experience that we had living, learning, and she's been a great teacher, and my wife considers her as a second mother. And here is my daughter, Petra. She was at that time 2 years old. Dr. Agatha and her are here. She's building a birdhouse for her. So they had a really good time. I know this was a Sunday afternoon. But time passed. I finished my course. I started working. And then after about less than a year, I received a call from one of the ministries to go to Europe. And we were concerned, being our children small, that maybe it's too soon, how everything is going to work out. And we started praying a lot. We were counseled with a lot of people. What should we do? And things were just kind of happening that we really should go forward. We started selling our things. And we sold pretty much everything except one thing, and that was our car, our van. At that time, I asked UChief if they would need a van. And they said, no, we have enough vans. And my desire was that van would stay in the ministry. So I decided to put on a Craigslist. I put on Craigslist Atlanta, Columbus, Birmingham, even Chattanooga. I tried to cover a radius of maybe a couple hundred miles. And for a whole month, I haven't received a single call. And it's not because I actually lowered the price. And then I remember going to Brother Champ and I said, I don't understand, why is Lord not selling this car if he's getting us to move forward? And I remember him saying to me, do you still need a car? I said, yes, I do. Well, that's why is Lord not selling the car? It's like, okay. So about 9 or 10 days prior to us leaving, I receive a call from a lady from like almost 1,000 miles away. And she's asking us, is car still available? I said, yes. And all the specifics, and said, their gentleman is going to call you tonight and is going to ask you about specifications about the car, and if you like it, we'll get it. So his last name is Clark, so you know it. So, okay. And he calls me at evening, asks me all the specifications, and asked me to text him the address. So I'm texting him the address after we finish conversation, and I text him the address of a business office, 30 Uchi Pines Road. 5 minutes later, as I texted this, the lady calls me back. She says, do you live close by Uchi Pines somewhere? I said, yes, I do. Are you by any chance a volunteer for Uchi Pines? I said, yes, I am. Well, there is no reason then for us to come and him to see the car. We are actually calling from Wachita Hills College, and we need a van for core porters. So core porters are in Birmingham. They'll come tomorrow morning. They'll pick up the car. We'll send you a check. And it was really a miracle the way Lord sold this car. And it's still in the ministry, as I recall. And it was Chester Clark. I don't know which third or fourth or which one called, but. And then we were ready to go. This is a map of Serbia. Just to give you like geographically, this is Italy, France, Spain, Germany, Romania, Bulgaria. This is Greece, Turkey. So we are kind of in the southern central part of Europe. So when we have arrived, we really didn't have a place where to live. The first place for us where we could stay was summer house for my in-laws, and this house wasn't really equipped to function fully. It was just maybe for a couple of months, this is our stuff that came, and we didn't have water there, so we had to get barrels of water from one well and transfer it into the our well, and we had to bathe for maybe with 1 gallon of water each of us, so we were like 4 gallons bathing. It was really, water was scarce. As we were trying to figure out what we're going to do, we found out that the ministry they have sent us, they don't have funds for the project. No funding. And no stipend. So what do? Pray. It will happen. It will happen that all our earthly support will disappear. We were traveling a lot, trying to figure out what we're going to do. There was a camp meeting in Serbia somewhere, and they called us to be one of the guest speakers. And this is the first place where we were able to earn some income selling soaps. My wife does make soaps. But as winter was approaching, we really didn't have a place where we're going to live because summer house was only for summer. And the family that is in helpful business in Croatia has invited us to come and spend the winter there. And it was right here. This is a map of Croatia. Serbia is just next to it. So we were right here. And at that time, we started translating books. And in the process of translation, we had a lot of problems. This first book we have worked on translating was God's Healing Way by Dr. Marianne McNeilis. It's a little different cover from the original. But this book has about 100 pages, right? And it's not difficult language, but it took us 9 months to finish this book. We call this our baby because it took 9 months to deliver this book. A lot of problems. We gave it to our brother and sister to translate. And when they came to the point of not using drugs, they have suggested me that we should change what's written in the spirit of prophecy and put, instead of drugs, poor quality vitamins. So, and there were other also things we didn't see eye to eye. I said, we have to translate as it's written. So a lot of hurdles by translating this book. And during that time, we had a visit from Dr. Don Miller. He came and visited us for a couple of days, and it was really good, refreshing to see somebody like-minded. But then my wife started experiencing some health problems, and she has numbness. Something was going on, so she didn't feel well, numbness in her feet. So we decided that maybe we should go to Belgrade and do some testings. And at that time, we have, in our lives, fulfilled one prophecy. And that is, the father shall be divided against the son against the father, mother against the daughter against the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. Why I'm saying this? When our families saw what is happening with us, my father talked to me, called me to talk to me to have like man-to-man talk. And he said, listen, what you're doing, I don't see how you can support yourself. You need to get a job. You need to get your family in order. And if social service to ask me, I would tell them to take away the children from you, the way you're raising them. And my father talked to my mother-in-law, and the same talk that I have in Serbia, when we were coming back to Croatia, my wife had with her mom. So we really feel that we really didn't have support. When we came back, the family that we were staying with, they had a family member who was very sick and asked if you can help us. Said, I'll be willing to help as much as I can. And she had like multiple cancers all over her body. And one thing I remember from my education here in UC Pines, one of the greatest things or great things that medical missionaries should do is, do you know what? Pray. Well, there was one more thing. Prepare people to die in Christ. And this lady was not a believer. So we would always pray before each treatment and after treatment. Her brother was giving her a Bible studies. And then after maybe a month, month and a half, she felt improvements and she was doing much better. She said yes to Jesus. 6 months later, she did pass away. But it's important that she said yes to Jesus. After that, we started translating a charcoal book by Dr. Agatha Trash. And at one point, I had a lecture where I had to talk about diet. So my wife asked me, why don't you just, when you go for a lecture, give some recipes. So she wrote a couple recipes, and this recipes just keep were adding up, adding up, adding up. And in 1 month, we had a healthy cookbook that was ready for a seminar. And this book is called, it's in Serbian, it's called Tasty, Healthy, and Simple. So during the summertime of 2014, after those couple lectures, we really didn't know what we're going to do, what's going to happen. So we're still staying with that family. And during that time, Jurasex, some of you have know them, I think Dr. Marianne have mentioned them yesterday, they were coming back from their mission trip in India, and they decided to stop by and see us. So we spent a couple days there. And it was interesting how Lord was, from every 6 to 7 months, he would send us somebody that was like us, like thinking the same, wanting to do the same work, like Don Miller, Jurasex, and that was kind of a sign for us that the Lord did not leave us. After that, we translated God's Healing Word, another book by Dr. Marianne, and we translated Amazing Health magazine. And after we finished translating this magazine, we received a call to go in Croatia in a different town to have a health lecture. And because that family who invited us, they were opening a little health club where people would come and receive health talks once a week. So we went there, and it was right there where the town is. It's a small town, but after several visits to them and giving presentation, they invited us to come and live with them. And we were thinking and considering of going there, but there was just a lot of unease going there, because this town is very known for their ethnic problems, especially during the civil war that happened between Serbia and Croatia in the last 20 years. The Serbs don't do well there. Let's just say it in a nice way. and I had my car was had a Serbian license plate, and I was you can understand if I'm speaking Serbian, my dialect. And people were telling me, "Do you know what happened during the civil war? What happened to Serbs? I don't think it's a wise thing for you to go there, and not just during the civil war." People were telling me, like, during the Second World War, when Berlin fell, another city in Croatia, capital city, Zagreb fell, but this town did not fall. So it was a great nest of this evil influence in that town. So we were praying, and my wife and I were thinking, like, what we should do. And the Lord is sending us. He's going to protect us. And Lord really bless mightily there. We were doing many different lectures. Ines was also doing the lectures in a culture center. And it's interesting how we got into the culture center. We were doing the lectures in that little club, and it was posted everything on Facebook, what we do. And soon, the director of the culture center saw it and said, you know, we would like for you to present once a month. You won't even have to pay. We will advertise and we'll call people to come to your lectures. And after maybe a month or so, because everybody saw what's going on Facebook, the other town, 30 miles away, invited us to come and do presentations. And a few months later, there was another town on the other side invited us to do presentations. So in less than 6 to 8 months, we were covering the radius of 60 miles of these towns. And it was just amazing how in a short period of time the Lord has blessed. And around October of 2014, I was doing some lectures in Serbia, and my wife sent me a text saying, call this realtor, I think I found a good property that it could be for a lifestyle center. So I went to see a property. Property turns out to be nothing special. And realtor asked me, what are you looking for? I said, I'm looking for something that's in the woods, that it's not close to school, that's not close to bus station, that's not close to anything. And she said, I actually have something like that. So she took me there, and this is the first look of the house and the property. And as soon as I walked in there and I was looking at the surrounding, I texted my wife. I said, you know, I think I found what we were looking for. I think this is it. And we had a lot of papers to start working on. But this is a map of Serbia. And if you were to influence the whole country, where would you like your center to be? Because they have a countryside here, they have countryside here, here. How would we be able to best influence this country? Where would you put us? Well, Lord put us right in the center. So we could be easy accessible to the north and south part of the country. And as we were coming close to signing the documents, this is another view of how everything was just rugged and wild there. 3 days before we were to sign documents, I have a dream. I have a dream, and in that dream, I was signing papers. I hand the money to the owner. Owner counts the funds. And after counting, he says, there is not enough funds. So I take the money, I give it to the lawyer. Lawyer counts it, and he says, what are you talking about? There's 400 euros more. And that's how I woke up. 3 hours later, the lawyer calls me and says, have you guys agreed on what's the price I'm drafting in a contract? I said, yes. I said, okay, I'll check with the owner. Owner calls me 5 minutes later. I said, I would never sell you this property for this amount of money. I said, we already agreed with this. You know, I could have been on drugs or meds or anything else. I would never sell you this property for this amount of money. So he throws me a different figure. I said, listen, I'm not paying the price for you being drunk or under some kind of drugs. We are not going forward with this. Even we were going back and forth for like 6 months. So next day he calls and he lowers the price. But it wasn't the price that we agreed. And the third day he calls, and he still lowers the price. And on the fourth time he called, he lowered the price. There was only difference of 100 euros for what I was dreaming and his price. So I called next, that was Sunday, and we were signing documents on Monday. So I talked to the lawyer. I said, listen, we need to lower the price for 100 more euros. I said, come on, you know, I'll give you the 100 euros. Let's don't bicker about the 100 euros here. I just close this deal. And I said, I will tell you everything about it if we are able to get another 100 euros. So he calls, and we got a positive answer. He lowered for another 100 euros, and the price was exactly what Lord gave me in a dream. And we signed the documents, and around that time, we published another book that was a natural remedy book by Dr. Agatha Thrash. And then as I finished publishing this book, I had a little problem with the eye. I couldn't see in one corner exactly clearly. And my wife told me, don't come back until you check your eye. And you know how we guys are, you know, like I'm usually okay, you know, there's no big deal. And I said, go check it. So I go to one doctor, doesn't see anything, go to another, he sees something, and then he sends me to a third doctor, and this third doctor said, have you been sick? I said, no. Is your anyone in your family sick? I said, no. Well, I think you have some kind of a tumor in your eye. Tumor? I mean, I'm a health reformer. You know, I do all things as it should be. And then I take an MRI, and sure enough, there was a little tumor in here behind my eye. Said, you know, you need to get the health insurance, and there is options how we can treat this. But in Serbia, there is only one option, and it's a radical option. But there are other ways in countries outside of Serbia that they can treat it, but you need to get a health insurance. And the Lord provided miraculously health insurance. And the way how things were really happening fast, my doctor, who was giving me referrals to go for all these checkups and exams, said, you know, do you have any connections the way how things are going? I said, no, I mean, the Lord is the only connection that I have. He said, because it's amazing how things progress fast that he can receive a treatment. But before me getting the treatment, the first thing I've done, knowing working as a counselor, is I started juicing, trying to alkalize myself, eating more raw, just more exercising. So one morning, I decided to make a juice. And as I prepared my juice, I stirred up juice, and then this jar broke. My whole juice kind of like went out. I was like, what? This has never happened to me in 40 years, you know, that the jar would break in this side. So I go like wash vegetables again and prepare everything. And I decide, okay, now I'm going to start peeling vegetables. And as I start peeling vegetables, my peeler breaks. And now I'm like thinking, Lord, is there something that you are wanting to teach me? And Lord always wants to teach you something. So I get another peeler. I juice everything. I take wheatgrass, put it in there, add more greens, you know, try to alkalize, lemon and everything. And I start stirring again. And I start, as soon as I was about to finish stirring, another jar breaks. What in the world? Exactly. That's what my mom said. My mom saw it, and she said, you see how enemy doesn't want you to get healthy. I said, no, mom. I didn't tell you the whole story, but I think Lord wants to teach me something here, that my problem is not in diet. I'm not saying that tumors, and it's caused by diet, but there are different ways. Some are caused by diet, but in my case, it was not caused by diet. And I was going for a treatment, it's called a proton therapy. I don't know if you guys are somewhat familiar with the proton therapy. It's a form of radiation, but it's not a classic radiation where you know, your body is exposed. This is only goes to the tumor, it doesn't go through your body, and doesn't go on the side. It's kind of like a way of a laser. And this picture is a little graphic, but it really like, opens up your lids, and it's very painful because there was a surgery prior to that. But when you look on the other side, you will never think that I'm in distress compared to the other one. And I think here we can learn how depend the problem, if whatever angle we are looking at it, it can be distressful, but in one angle, it cannot be distressful. So when I finished my treatment, I was praying a lot and trying to see what was the cause of this problem. Trying to figure out where do we go from now. And in Ministry of Healing, we have steps we are to take when we are facing disease. In case of sickness, the cause should be ascertained. Unhelpful conditions should be changed, wrong habits corrected. The nature is to be assisted in her efforts to expel impurities and to reestablish the right conditions in the system. I'm like, okay. And then later on, I got introduced to a message from Dr. Horst Mueller, Law of Life. And here I really understood what my cause and my problem was. Sickness of a mind prevails everywhere. 9/10 of the diseases from which men suffer have their foundation here. See, during these 2 years that we were trying to find a place and being rejected, there was a lot of things that were happening that I could not process. Many of the diseases from which men suffer are a result of a mental depression. Grief, anxiety, discontent, remorse, guilt, distrust, all tend to break down the life forces and invite decay and death. During all these problems, trials, disappointments, I started thinking to myself, maybe the life would be better without me. Has it ever happened to you? Did ever these kind of thoughts cross your mind? You know, why is these things happening to me? Why is Lord allowing these things? I'm kind of pounding myself that all these negative things, all these disappointments, frustrations are happening because I'm not able to deliver what the world is expecting. And I had guilt, discontent, I was anxious. Are you ever anxious? When you have to go take a test, is your stomach hurting and nobody has hit you? You know, you're stressful. You feel like, you know, there's an elephant on your chest. You know, there's heaviness. It's all comes from the mind. So I learned at that point that it really makes a big difference what we think. What we think. And it took me to the cross. Because when Jesus was on the cross, he didn't take anything personal, what they were doing to him. Because he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. After that, we went to our sanitarium, our little place, and I found these quotes to be very inspiring. Our sanitariums have been presented to me as the most effective medium for the promotion of the gospel message. Land with the buildings and orchards, our people should be looking for opportunities to purchase properties away from cities on which the buildings already erected and orchards already bearing. Land is a valuable possession. Connected with our sanitarium, there should be land, small portions which can be used for homes of helpers and others who are receiving a treatment for medical missionary work. So when we got there, we tried to first establish the hot water. As soon as we start establishing hot water, our pipe breaks. So we get just one thing after another. And we get a person to plumber to fix it. He said, whatever you want to do, you better change whole plumbing. Everything is old and rusty here. So we started changing the plumbing. This is one of the living rooms. And then while we were changing plumbing, we found a little visitors in our house. There was some kind of a rodent. And actually, that rodent first visited us here. It was just walking around. It was like, who these people are now? You know, this has been my house for like so many years. And then we looked online. They said, how was the best way to get rid of this kind of a rodent? It says you can either play a heavy metal music for 7 days and they'll run away. Or you can find their nest. So as we were doing this construction, their nest was actually under the bathtub. And they had little babies, which we had to take care of. And at that time, we were planning to do our roof, and we were praying who we're going to go with. And we had to decide with what team we're going to go. As we prayed, next morning, my wife asked me, like, do you know who we're going to go with? Did Lord tell you? I said, no, it did not. How about you? Nothing. And one of the people who were giving us offers, and everybody was saying how good they are, they said, we'll lower the price if you work on a roof. I said, okay. And the other group did not have this requirement, and they had a lower price. But we didn't know about their quality. So maybe a few hours later, a friend of ours calls my wife and says, is Alberto okay? Are you guys okay? Yes. Is Alberto okay? Yes. You know, you won't believe, but last night I had a dream that he was working on a roof and he fell from the roof and I was trying to pull him out. So Lord really answered through this lady, who are we to go with and do our roof? So we started working on a roof. Everybody was helping. And then as I finished my treatment, I decided to cancel my insurance because now government wanted to put me on some kind of a medical leave and start receiving some kind of a benefits, some pension benefits. So I felt like, you know, I don't feel right taking from the government these things, and I decided to cancel my insurance that the brother provided for me. And shortly after I've canceled my insurance, one morning I received an email after finishing my devotion, and this is how email goes. Good morning. Is it possible that you lost it, and who counsels you and whispers in your ear? By your actions, I see that it's not God. Where did you get an idea not to follow the procedure and not to stay on a medical leave as said? Who do you think you are? What other nonsense I can expect from you? You have a right to be on a sick leave for as long as it takes, as well to receive a salary from a government with you while you are on a sick leave. Why would you then, in the middle of a treatment, decide to voluntarily cancel your health insurance and the thing you deserve? Are you sure that everything is okay with your head? By your actions, I see that it's not. Shame on you. If I die before my time, know that it's because of you. Why didn't you discuss this with somebody prior to making the decision? This is unbelievable. I need to pinch myself to be sure that I'm not dreaming. Yeah, seriously. This was sent to me. Oh, great beloved. What would you do? I don't know either. But, you know, I asked God, and God gave me impression to cancel it. But when this happens, you have to call on Matthew 10 to 12. Blessed ye. Blessed are they which are prosecuted for righteousness' sake, for there is a kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and prosecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for the great is your reward in heaven. For so prosecuted they the prophets which are before thee. After that, I went to a doctor and I told her that I've decided to cancel my insurance and said the reason why, because I really don't want government to take money from the government. And she said, like, you know, I admire you because I've never seen people do these things. Usually people try to take the most they can. But she said, you know, I would actually go to the health department because there is, I think, a way that you can still get the health insurance. And I go there and tell, listen, the doctor told me to go to you, and there is still a way for me to get the health insurance, to get my I brought my papers. And he looks through my papers, and he looks at the law of health there they have, and says, under paragraph this and that, under your conditions, if you go to the medical board, and if you satisfied all the requirements, you're able to get free health insurance. Praise God, huh? So that's how it happened, and I still have a health insurance to this day. It's been 2 years. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. As we were working on a property, we were cleaning things, we found a spring. We continue cleaning the property, you know, weed whacking all over the place. And this is our property from the satellite. We found a little valve that was connected to the main water source. And this way, this guy actually had a water on his place where he gardened. So we had the piping and irrigation to our garden. But as we were continue to clean and weed whack, this pipe extend to the orchard. We continue doing the same thing. This pipe extends to the one side of the orchard. All these things we did not know when we got the property. And then later on, it extended, we found another one. So this whole property is water irrigated. And as we were working, trying to do as much as we can with our resources, we came pretty much to the end. And these workers who helped us with the roof, they said, you know, we have observed you, and we see you guys are a very nice family. And we would like to give you an offer. We would like you to at least move in the lower level. And if you just provide material to fixing up your lower level, we will do it. And you pay us whenever you have funds. These are worldly people. These are not our brothers. And we saw this as a small opportunity that we could go still forward with this work. So they did this little work on a lower level. And at that time, we were about to meet them and pay them. And 3 days before, we received our first donation to be able to pay them. So God really honored their faith, workers' faith in us, and our faith in Him. And God blessed us both. Later on, a friend of ours helped us with pruning the trees, and we were putting manure on the garden area. And this is the orchard during the winter time. And as the pen of inspiration says, you know, we were having another buildings. We had a small building here, and we had a little bunker here that's about like 500 square feet, which we are hoping to turn into an orchard and a recording studio. During the winter of 2015, we were blessed to go to U.S., and at that time we spent several months in Yuchi Pines, and we received a call to go to Cape Cod. This is Pastor Piroski. Some of you might know him. He's now in Chicago, and it was a real blessing because I guess some of their members came to Yuchi Pines later on for treatments. And after our time finished at Yuchi, we came back and started working on our garden. And as soon as we have arrived, 2 days later, we received a call from a realtor. I didn't tell you this before, but remember the situation when my father had a man-to-man talk with me? Shortly after, he passed away. Very fast, you know, we didn't expect it. And we were selling his apartment for almost 2 years. Me and my two younger brothers. So as soon as we arrived from Yuchi, we are receiving a call from a realtor that somebody wants to buy a place. And somebody wants to see the place. So the first person comes and sees the place, they automatically do a U-turn and leave. And then another person came in that was not sent by realtor. And he saw the place, and my brothers were like talking to him. And they would have to sign some documents. And my brother asked him, how did you hear about this place that we are selling? And he said, you know, I was walking one evening, and I was kind of sad because I couldn't find the apartment that I was looking for. And I think the guy just told me to ask the guy who was next, some bystander next to me, if there are any apartments for sale. And this guy actually happened to be living in a building, and it was in front of the building. And he said, yes, there is an apartment around the house, that building that it's selling. So this is how we were able to sell this apartment and receive some funds to continue the work. This is the kitchen we were able to finish. This is how the kitchen looked before. And then we continued working. But then we encountered problems. You know, we had new plumbing. The pipes started leaking. We started having problems with electricity. The whole house was kind of blinking. Then our water was leaking from a washer. We had to change another pipe here. Where is it? And in this kind of work, you're always going to have problems. Because in John 16:33 it says, be of a good cheer. In this world you will have tribulation, but have peace. So we have really called upon this as our verse for encouragement. We were able to finish a facade, and this is how the place looked later. And this is how it looked first, and this is how it looked, yeah. Another photo. This is Orchard. And this was by July 2016. We already tried to finish as much as we could with the funds we received from this sale of apartment. These are some fruits of our labor. This is Petra and Michael. Lord really blessed with a lot of tomatoes, able to give it a lot to the neighbors and friends. And around that time, the friend of mine who is a pediatrician, and he has always struggled with the weight, has called me and said, you know, I have a problem. I cannot figure out how to lose weight. And I know what you're doing. And I've tried many diets. And I'm taking a vacation of 2 or 3 weeks. Can I come for 10 days at your place? And I said, yes, come. And then as I hang up, I was talking to my wife. You know, I said, I told Michael to come. But now when I'm thinking, I don't even know where he's going to sleep. You know, we are sleeping on the floor. We don't have a dining table. We have nothing. You know, it's just the house is bare. And like, where are we going to invite him? So we were finishing our first newsletter. And in our newsletter, we express a desire to finish these things before he comes. And Lord mightily blessed. And in a short period of time, we got enough funds to get a dining table. And we got some good quality used sofa and the carpet. And we were able to furnish the room. And he felt so pity for us. Like, look, it's you're sleeping on the floor. I'm sleeping on this bed. It's like, oh, don't worry about it. It's all fine. And this is another thing we did from those donations, kind of do the pavement around where people can do the exercise. That's another photo. And then he was here doing gardening. We were harvesting potatoes. This is him doing a steam bath. And 45 days later, he is sending me his blood work because he continued this at home. These are his results before he came. And these are his results after 45 days. Cholesterol 125, CRP 1.2, A1C 5.3. This is just, I'm going to go fast through these things. But what do you think happened once he came back to hospital? They didn't recognize him. And when they didn't recognize you, they ask you, where did you go? So Lord really blessed. I mean, we kind of have like a pending people to come. He just is waiting for us to come. This is 45 days, yeah. And then after that, after him, we had another situation where there was a lady we were helping. Well, we tried to help her earlier, but she wouldn't come prior to that. Now, the pictures I'm going to show you, they're graphic. So if you don't have a tummy for it, don't look at it. Anyway, this woman, it's one of my relatives, was receiving care from a hospital regarding her leg wound. And her leg wound was like about a quarter, but they didn't dress her wound occasionally and as they should. So one day they opened her wound, and when they opened her wound, it looked like this. And automatically they closed the wound and they sent her to a surgeon. So what do you think is a standard practice for this kind of situation? In a conventional medicine? Cut it off. You don't want to spread this thing, you need to cut it off. So she, instead of running to a surgeon, she ran to us. I said, you should have come when it was like a quarter. You know, this is like a $100 bill. It's not really the return on investment you really want. But I said, let's see what we can do. And here I'm taking this necrotic tissue. I was using cabbage and onion poultice to try to soften this necrotic tissue. And I was taking it slowly. And after 2 weeks, we were able to remove most of it. This here, we had a little situation. And you learn through this process. I couldn't get rid of this black thing. And at one point, like I'm trying to get it out. And then I hit a vein. And it started like just getting out. I pressed on it. And my wife said, let's get a cayenne pepper. Put the cayenne pepper. And in 5 minutes, it was gone. And this lady was so impressed with the cayenne pepper. It was hurting her, but it helped her wound. Our children here are making some joyful noise, making her stay better. And this is how her leg looked 45 to 50 days later. But that was not the only wound that she had. She had a wound on the other side of the leg, same leg. Yeah, I tell you. We did the same things. This is the last time I took a photo. Actually, she doesn't have this wound anymore. It's closed. And during that time, after that, we had a lot of seminars, lectures, teaching people. Here's my son mixing charcoal in a pitcher. And they don't know what the charcoal is. So we would mix the charcoal in a pitcher, serve them a drinks, everybody, so they can know, they know that it's not going to hurt them. And my son would try first to tell them that it's all okay. This is my daughter giving, we're giving hydrotherapy here. This is my wife. She's teaching a cooking school and cosmetics. And this is just something, little industry we have. My wife makes lotions, soaps. We have tinctures, charcoal, and the books we have translated. Here also we are packaging charcoal, Petra and I. This is just another soaps that my wife is doing. And I'll share a little video with you. This is the short testimony that happened just 6 months ago. I think we'll play.
Hello, this is a little update from our conference, Lifestyle Center, the Spring of Health in Serbia. As some of you know from receiving our previous newsletters, one of our challenges has been a need for additional housing unit. After thinking and praying about it, we felt impressed to explore an option of converting our storage area just under our terrace into a small apartment unit. We have asked one of our friends from the church who does construction work to come and see if this would be possible. He said we would have to dig about 4 to 5 feet deep since the height of the storage area was 4 feet, but he was willing to help us make this possible and gave us a very good price. Even though we did not have enough funds to complete the project, we have decided to step in faith, knowing that the Lord will provide the rest as we continue the work. A week into the work, the first donation came, and we felt encouraged and assured that the Lord is blessing this work. The weather was serving us well, so we could work efficiently. Here you see our main worker, who has been a real blessing to us. As we were progressing really well, we have encountered some problems. We have noticed a leak in the basement as well in one of the walls of the soon-to-be apartment unit. We started digging around the foundation trying to find a pipe and were able to find it and patch it up just in time before Sabbath. That coming Sunday, we had a lecture in one of the nearby cities, and when we came back, we have noticed that the soil where we had a leak has been eroding, just to realize we had yet another leak. Our workers came on Monday and started digging again to try to find an additional leak. Since we didn't want to have a problem with weakening the foundation, we needed to start digging above, and that meant demolishing our new bathroom. This also meant extra cost, but the Lord was so good, and about that time, another donation was received. These kind of setbacks are hard to handle, but we could see how the Lord blessed, as if we had all these problems occur later, after everything was done in the apartment, it would be so much more difficult and costly. As the apartment was on a lower level than our current septic tank, we needed to build another septic tank and also make it as a backup if we ever encounter a problem with the other septic tank.
Around that time, we were expecting a dear friend, Don Miller, who was coming to Serbia from Istanbul to do some lectures in Montenegro and Serbia. Here is his take on 1 month he has spent with us.
It's been a blessing to be in the Balkan States for about a month now. Started off in Montenegro, spent a week there, fantastic time. Was on, you know, Good Morning Montenegro, I guess, their main show in the capital of Montenegro, in Podgorica. Very good program. We had great meetings there all over Montenegro. Then we've been up here, we've been here 3 weeks. I just think about yesterday, we were in an elementary school, speaking to seventh and eighth graders on a geography class. Just a wonderful reception. And then the teachers wanted us to talk with them, so I had a meeting with the teachers. Then a meeting in the capital of Belgrade last night with a packed house. We've just really done something. When I think about the work that we're doing, that's not we, what's being done here in the Balkan States, this is the only self-supporting place I know of here in the former Yugoslavia. And it's a pioneering work. It's a good work. I see so much interest being raised up in the people, asking questions, wanting to know. They come with their problems, and thankfully I was able to introduce Alberto, as he introduces himself, as you've got questions, go to him. He's been trained, he knows what to do. So I believe that a great work is being done here. I see this house right here. I remember seeing it first time. I thought, whoa, this is a long way to go, but what a house. And now they've added an addition downstairs so they can have another guest room. They can have people here and help them physically, help them mentally, and help them, most importantly, spiritually. That's what this work is all about. It's a privilege to be involved in a work of a pioneering work, because this is truly pioneering work. People who had it, you know, they could stay in America, but they come back here to this country and to Croatia and all the Balkan State countries. We've now got an invitation to Macedonia. They want us back in Montenegro. We can go to Croatia, we're here in Serbia. There's other places we're gonna go. So this is, I really believe that God is trying to get a work going here. And I see that hearts are being touched. I see that people are being changed and moved in the direction that he would have them to go in. So I think it's worthy of anyone's effort to support this ministry, anything that they can do, especially prayers. It's a small family who've come here, given up everything they had to come here and start a work. God will bless them. God is blessing them. And I just am privileged to be a part of the work that we've been doing the last 2 years. And whatever years left in the future, we'll keep working until Jesus comes.
This is how it looked before it was finished. This is how it looks now. The Lord really provided step by step. In that video, we ran out with the funds like 7 times, and every time we ran out with the funds, Lord provided a different way. It was just amazing. We call this project 5 Loaves and 2 Fishes. This is another view. These tiles have been donated to us, and most of the tiles in the house have been donated to us by the brother who has a tile shop. This is how the bathroom looks. And this is a small kitchen that was finished. This is a small bedroom. And around August, we were planning to have a family Bible camp through education. So we had Sister Teresa and Kim and little Jewel and Persians come in and teach there. It was difficult because we didn't have all the equipment to start this camp. But just at the end, Lord really blessed and provided us with a good TV where we could do the lectures. And until the day of the camp, we really didn't know how many people would come. Some were canceling, some were coming. So when the camp started, we had like, I think, 8 or 9 children. And this is little Jewel teaching children about health and organs. And this is us having a breakfast here. And this person here and his family, they're actually from a reform movement. So when they heard about what we are offering, they decided to come in. And it was, they at least say there was a real blessing. They encourage more of these things should be happening. Here are children and the lectures, the teaching, and here's Michael giving this was a comfrey poultice to a young gentleman who just received the injury prior to coming here to the camp. And this is the photo that we kind of like a group took as we were finishing the camp. And I just like to share with you, like as we conclude a goodbye, that right now we are finishing our sixth book. It's The Story of Jesus, written by Ellen White. There are not a lot of Adventist books that talk about the story about Jesus' life. They have from a secular people. And right now we are in the process of finishing that book with illustration. Even people from Good Salt gave us a great price, a discounted price, so we can put in each chapter a nice picture so for children to get really a deep insight on the story of Jesus. So we're really thankful for Lord what has done for us. And this actually, all this walk turned out to be the biggest blessing for us when our ministry left us. Because we really start living by faith. And it really turns out to be the biggest blessing. Because if we are constantly relying on the Lord to supply all our needs, He's faithful and He will do it. Just think about the situation when Jesus left His former employment of being a carpenter. He leaves His apron and He goes to do the Father's work. What do you think the neighbors thought? Where are you going? What are you going to do? How are you going to support yourself? Where is your pension? Where is your health insurance? I'm sure they had all these questions. And now He's going to do something new. And He wasn't alone. He had 12 more guys with Him, right? Did Lord sustain them? If we are about a Father's business, He will provide the ways we don't know. And at the end, I just want to share some ministry needs. Prayers, we need a lot of prayers. We are the only self-supporting work there. And volunteers, we also need help in that. We want to furnish all the rooms and finish the treatment room. These are just estimated costs, media room and a root cellar, land and housing. You know, in construction, you cannot set a certain amount because you always have an unexpected thing. So this is just a rough estimate. We want to do a helpful store. We continue publishing things. We are connected with Gospel Ministry International, and people also there can send their tax-deductible donations. So I hope this was a blessing and encouragement to you. Amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.